Look for 7 at 7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7 at 7. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. What's up, everybody? It's your Takeaways podcast host here, Heidi Fang. Today, I've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to hear from Mike Mayock. I've got the best sounds from the general manager from his availability that happened last week. So in case you missed it, in case you want a refresher, I've got it all here. The best of. I locked it down to, I think, what's the best topics, what the Raider fans want to hear. So I'm going to play that here on the show. I also was able to sit down with John Simpson, the offensive guard from the Raiders drafted out of Clemson in 2020. I went through what his experience was like, what it was like for him to be on the field, and most importantly, what it's going to be like for him stepping into a bigger role in 2021. So we're going to get into that right now. I want to remind everybody that this week we are out at the draft in Cleveland. Sam Gordon and I are going to have some great content for you. You're going to want to check back on VegasNation.com every day to keep up with all the coverage. We're also going to be putting out shows this week on Cox Cable. Those will be simulcast on our Facebook, on our YouTube, everything. So make sure check out VegasNation.com and download the Vegas Nation app so you don't miss a single thing this week. We have got you covered. So make sure to hit subscribe as well to all the podcasts because we're going to do all these different shows for you. We're going to mix it up this week. We got great stuff coming. So we're brought to you by the Las Vegas Review Journal and also presented to you by Blue Wire Podcast. So let's get into it right now. I'm going to start this show off with Raiders guard John Simpson. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a big opportunity for you this year coming up. I want to go back and talk a little bit about your draft and what that experience was like for you as it looks to be, you know, number 17 coming in this year, 48, lots of options for the Raiders to pick. But your experience, I want to go back. What was that like for you last year going through the draft process of 2020?
Last year, I kind of just, it was very weird, to say the least, because of COVID. But I was fortunate enough to have a pro day. Our pro day was like the last pro day that they had. And then before that, we had the combine and stuff like that. So I was fortunate enough to have both of those things and was able to, you know, participate and show my ability.
And that ability will be on full display in the coming season. The offensive line has had a lot of shifting, a lot of shaking out. So I'm curious for you, what is the opportunity like for you looking ahead to 2021?
Opportunity is really whatever I make it. I just got to work as hard as I can, you know, try to get that starting job. It's really up for grabs. And I know it's still a few older guys in there and I'm sure they're going to be competing as hard as they can. And, I will be too.
I'm up at a lot of the games in Allegiant Stadium, and I've always noticed that when it's pregame, you're out there, you're going through the mental snaps in your head, you're working through everything on the field. How much of the process for you is mental more so than just the physical training?
I think majority of it is mental. I think the physical part, you know, either you have it or you don't. And but like I said earlier, like it's really just a mental game at this point for me, just figuring out everything, make sure I have everything down packed and just taking the right footsteps and stuff like that. It's a lot more to it than a lot of people know. So it definitely is a lot mental.
What is your best reflection on your rookie season? When you go back and you look at what life was like as a rookie coming into the NFL, yeah. What was that like for you?
My rookie season was definitely a rocky one. But I mean, everyone has their different courses or whatever. Mine was a little crazy for me to say the least. Cause you know, growing up and stuff like that, football was always easy. It always came easy. Like mentally it wasn't as challenging and stuff like that. So just last year it was just like, wow, this is it's the real deal. So I just had to really grasp that concept and just know that, look, this ain't middle school, high school, college anymore. This is big boy league. So I really just had to overcome that, and then I think I was doing pretty good.
I did ask you about the draft experience, but when you got the call, who was it that was on the phone with you? Was it Mayock? Was it Gruden? What was it like? Walk me through it.
It was Coach Gruden. It was the third day, and I watched the whole second day. And I was kind of like discouraged. I was like, well, you know, if I ain't going yet, then I don't know. I ain't going. So it was pretty much like a, I woke up that morning, went to go work out. I was like, look, somebody got to do something. So I went to go work out or whatever, just to get my mind off of it. And, came back home. My dad actually started cutting my hair, got a haircut from my dad. And, I was still sitting in the chair, got the call, and everybody started yelling around me. I was like, y'all don't even know who this is. But it was Coach Gruden. He was on the phone, and he told me I was going to be a Las Vegas Raider. So
coming into the Raiders is probably kind of easy transition for you, in the sense of you had a lot of Clemson brothers already down there playing yeah. for the Silver and Black. So when you came in there and you have all of these guys that have been a part of that Clemson team for you, what was it like to see some of them on the Raiders field? And was it easy for you to kind of approach them and ask for advice or tips or things like that as you came in?
Yeah, most definitely. It was like guys like Trayvon Mullen. He was working out at the facility I was working at when I came up here before we started training camp. So, I mean, I talked to him a lot, and Hunter Renfro, all those guys, Klee, they all helped me out a lot. And Klee being on the defensive line, he tells me things that I need to work on more and stuff like that. So it's always good getting feedback from those guys and just let me know that they got my back no matter what.
And as far as the veterans that you had last season, Richie Incognito, Rodney Hudson, a lot of guys there were able to kind of set the tone of that offensive line. You had a good group of guys that had a ton of years in the NFL to learn from. What did you take away from anything that they had passed on to you? And who did you look up to most?
I looked up to all those guys, man. All those guys really taught me a whole lot. They didn't have to say much, but it was just the way they came out every day ready to practice. Those guys, like I said, they didn't have to say much at all, but it always was like, I was always watching those guys, just like seeing what they do and how they do it and, going through the motions and stuff like that, like just footwork and like small things like that. Just everything that they did, I always try to keep an eye on because I know those are the guys that I want to be in a few years.
I remember reading something that said that you had modeled a lot of your game after Richie Incognito's. What did you take away from his specifically? You talked a little bit there, but was there anything really specific?
Richie, he's just very aggressive when it comes to playing. And that's how I want to be. He has a mindset that no one's better than him. And, you know, and that's kind of what you got to have when you want to be a good offensive lineman. He's very gritty. He's going to do what he has to do to, you know, win his rep or win his one-on-one. And that's how I want to be.
So what's it been like living here in Las Vegas for you? What is the transition coming into this city like and being part of the inaugural season for the Raiders?
Yeah. It's definitely been it's been crazy. This city is just, it's amazing. It's crazy. It's so how nice it is. It's like everywhere you go, you see mountains, and I'm not used to that at all. So, I mean, but besides how nice the city is, it's just like, I mean, it is what it is. It's just, you know, like coming here to work and just, you know, get my job done.
For sure. So as you look ahead to 2021, what do you set out for yourself? What are your goals for yourself? How are you going to build upon last season?
My goals this year are just to be better than I was last year. Like, it's kind of simple, but I just want to be the best version of me that I could possibly be. I'm not really trying to compare myself to anyone else this year. I'm just doing whatever it takes for me to, you know, be my best. Because my best isn't going to be the same as everyone else's best. So I just want to push myself to be as good as I can be.
Got a couple more for you. Just when you look at the draft this season coming up, 2021 draft, do you see anybody from your alma mater of Clemson that you think that the Raiders should put their radar on?
It's so much great talent coming out of Clemson. And no telling who are going to pick up to come here, because I'm sure there's going to be somebody or a few people actually. But I really have no idea as far as who's graduating next year and who's like, you know, saying who they would want to bring, because I'm not sure where they think we're missing pieces.
Right. You do look, though, obviously, right tackle is a position that'll look to be filled. There's going to be some competition there on the O-line. So do you think that there's anybody in the draft that you think would make a good fit for that position?
I have no idea.
Okay, as I say, at number 17, the Raiders take. Christian Darrisaw.
You never know. You never know. The draft is so crazy. I don't even try to even worry too much about it because of how crazy it is. And, like, you never know who's going to go first and who's going to go, you know. So I try not to, you know, pay attention to those things.
Yeah. With the COVID era, I didn't ask about that, you know, all this COVID stuff that's happened. Your draft experience was kind of different than any other that we'd ever seen in the NFL, being that it was virtual. So, you know, did that kind of hamper anything for you as far as, like, did the going through the experience or not at all?
I thought the whole draft process, like, that, as far as that goes, was insane, because I've never experienced anything like that before. So I was just happy to have the opportunity to get drafted. So it wasn't too crazy. It was different.
Nice. Well, I certainly appreciate your time and joining me today for the show. We look forward to seeing you hopefully out of training camp. That would be a good time to probably for the media to get out there, and looking forward to getting out and covering more games this season with the Raiders. John, thank you so much for the time and joining me today.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you. Right, did you want to give out any social media handles or anything for everyone to follow you?
My Twitter is, hold on, I got to remember what my Twitter is. That's so sad. I just got verified on Twitter. So
did you? Let's look for that blue check mark.
I know, right? It's _ John Simpson.
Okay.
And then my Instagram is BigJohn74_.
Okay, great. I'm putting it in right now. And
that's all I got.
_ John Simpson. Thank you so much again for the time. Look forward to seeing you out there in the field.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Look for 7@7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. Let's get into it right now with General Manager Mike Mayock and his thoughts on the 2021 NFL Draft.
Mike Edgranny from the Review Journal. Obviously, you'll have new faces no matter who they are on the offensive line. What more or what additional onus will this put on Tom? And obviously, you guys have great faith in him as a coach and what he's proven over time in terms of at least early on kind of molding it into the line you want to see.
I think it's an interesting I'm actually, you know, it's funny because I think people, the public perception is, the Raiders, you know, they made a bunch of moves on the offensive line, therefore they're going to be worse there. And I'm kind of energized by it, to be really honest with you. And we redid our left tackle's contract, Colton Miller, and I think that showed our locker room that we were really willing to be really aggressive in signing one of our own. And somebody we believe is a cornerstone, right? And then people are like, well, yeah, you traded away one of the best centers in football. And we did. But you can't make that move unless you think you've got somebody right behind them that can come in and compete. So, you know, we look at an Andre James and a Nick Martin and say, look, we feel like we can compete at center. We think we're getting younger. I'm excited and energized by what our offensive line room is starting to look like. And I'm excited and energized because I think Tom Cable feels the same way. So we have all the respect in the world for Rodney and Gabe and Trent. But at this point, you know, we made a conscious decision to try to get younger, maybe a little bit more athletic, and let's go. And I can't wait to see how we react.
Last year in the draft, because of the way the offseason went, you had said that that was the reason why you wanted to have all your picks in the first four rounds, and you were able to do that. Well, it's looking like this season, this offseason might be kind of similar. Do you feel any differently? You have three picks past the fourth round. Do you feel any differently this year about this draft in that regard?
It's an interesting question because it was a little bit of a different year. The positive is that we at least got to go to pro days. And sometimes that sounds trivial, but it's not to me. I went to a bunch of them. I like to see guys move. I like to feel them. I want to feel a guy coming off the line of scrimmage. I want to feel a quarterback throw. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to sit and meet with the kids, which I think is the biggest downside to the whole thing. So that part is different than last year. At least we were out in the road. We got to speak to a whole bunch of college coaches. You know, that would, I enjoyed that. We still had to do some Zoom meetings this year. I don't like that. Even though we get a lot of information and we got after it, it's not the same as sitting down with a kid, having dinner with them, having lunch with them, watching tape with them. It's a little different conversation. So that's kind of a long way of saying that I think this, we didn't have a combine, so we don't have medical. So there's compare and contrast between last year and this year, some positives, some negatives. The medical's really hard. You know, we're still scrambling on medical right now, as is every team in the league. So to answer your question, I think we're going to have some sort of off-season program, you know, and therefore I'll feel better about getting the kids in our building rather than them being at home Zooming. So that gives you a little bit more latitude, I think, in the draft. But again, it's been a crazy two drafts. That's all I can tell you.
A lot of reporting lately that the Raiders and MGM want Allegiant Stadium at 100% capacity for the home opener. What excites you most about that idea, and what concerns, if any, do you have about fan and player safety as it relates to 100% capacity?
We were 2-6 at home last year. We were 6-2 on the road last year. So getting fans in those stands are pretty important to us. We want to turn that stadium into a home field advantage. I can't speak for player safety, fan safety. That's for all the government officials and the NFL officials. All I know, as somebody with a vested interest in getting out there in an exciting, filled arena, we can't friggin' wait. Okay, that place needs to rock, and it needs to be a home field advantage.
Mike, you guys have hit it big with FCS guys such as Brandon Parker and Max Crosby. Would you say it's a little harder to really go after these smaller school guys in this offseason, or you just kind of have the same mentality in being able to know as much about these guys from these smaller schools as possible?
Yeah. Information is king in any draft, and it's gotten harder and harder to collect the appropriate information the last 2 years. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right? That's what these last two drafts have been about, collecting the proper information, and there have been different challenges. So if we feel good about a small school kid and collecting the information, watching the tape, heck, let's go. Let's roll. But it really is difficult. And for instance, forget FCS just for a second, or small school, big school. You know, it's just, what about the guys that for whatever reason haven't played since 19, big school or little school? Now you go back and watch 19 tape. Now, some of those guys have been out training for a year to get ready for their pro day or combine, and now guys are lighting up pro day numbers left and right. How legit are those numbers? How do you feel about the medical, which is still trickling in each day? We just started getting medical a few days ago. Usually we get it right after the combine. So I'm literally finishing up draft meetings this week, and we don't even have medical grades on a bunch of guys that we can trust. So, you know, we're digging hard on medical, and I think it's a great question, and I think the answer is every case is an individual one. Big school, little school, it's just how confident are we in the information that's been collected?
Obviously, there's a new defensive voice in the building, Gus Bradley and his staff, through free agency and now the draft process. How is his presence being felt, and what's the relationship with those the new guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Gus for 20 years, I think. And what's cool about Gus is he's got a way about him that's inclusive. And by that, I mean whether it's the players, the fellow coaches, the scouts, he's all in. And he's trying to help you make your job better. I mean, we were in, I think it was February meetings in our draft room with the scouts. And he came in with mask on, but all gregarious. And he said, I need 2 minutes. And 2 minutes became 2 hours. We sat in there and picked his brain for 2 hours when he just came in to kind of just say, hey, you guys got anything for me? Can I help you? 2 hours later, it was like, oh my God, he's got to get to a meeting. And that happens every day with Gus. Just a very outgoing, infectious guy that wants to, he's one of those people that connects other people, if that makes any sense. And I think that's an awesome attribute for a coordinator.
Adam Hill, Review Journal. You talked about some of the medicals being slow to trickle in and still trying to do all of the due diligence there. And then the not being able to, you know, sit down and have a meal and a close conversation with guys. Sometimes yellow flags check out and you're like, okay, we're not concerned anymore. And sometimes they become red flags. Does that whole thing make it more difficult to look at a guy that might have some questions and really invest in him, not having that opportunity to be around him?
It does. I'm a big believer that when you get on a kid's campus and you get to have dinner with him the night before a pro day, or just as importantly, sit in a meeting room with him and put some film up and spend an hour picking his brain face to face, not over Zoom. On top of that, the 30 visits, we haven't had a 30 visit since 2019. You know, the 30 visits, you get 30 players in your building for a day. Not for an hour Zoom call. You get 30 players in for a day. You can grind the heck out of them for a day. You can have some fun with these guys. You can figure out which guys love it and which guys are worn out by 2 in the afternoon. You know, when they're in there with the coaches, the position coach, the head coach, the coordinator, the strength and conditioning, they're meeting with a lot of people, and you find out a lot about a guy over a day. It's a little different when you have a 15-minute interview or an hour Zoom. They've been coached up. You know, it's a whole different process. And it's a great point about the yellow flags or the red flags. You're trying to either eliminate them or endorse them and go, yep, that's a problem. He's done. So a big part of getting ready for a draft is getting your draft board down to a manageable size. And that's been the hardest part with the lack of medical and sometimes a lack of confirmation, excuse me, on who these kids really are or aren't.
Mike, you had mentioned Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnette as guys that you wanted to see from the physical standpoint get stronger and all of those things that need to happen between year one and year two. Any update on those two guys in terms of that?
I'm excited about both of them. I don't think there's any question in our building how talented they both are. Henry's got to get stronger. Damon's got to get stronger. They're both spending an awful lot of time this offseason, both with the strength and also the conditioning aspects. In my mind, we're going to see different guys. And I made a comment a couple of months ago about Ruggs and about that whole class last year needing to step it up this year. And I still believe that. And from Ruggs' perspective, I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. We knew exactly what he was. And that's who he is. We had no surprises last year in Ruggs. Now he needs to take it to the level two now, the next level up. Stronger, better route runner, finish, get both feet down, all those things, and we think he will. Same thing with Arnette, up and down year, injured, COVID, all kinds of different issues. We need consistency and effort, and I'm a big believer in both those kids. I'm really excited to see him play this year.
That'll do it for this episode today here on Takeaways. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you find your podcast, wherever you're listening now. It takes just a minute. I always appreciate it, and I appreciate any feedback that you ever have. Put it out there. Put it on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think about the show. I'm always happy to hear it. Good, bad, ugly, I'm here for it all. So thanks, everybody, so much again for listening to the show. Check out everything that we're doing this week on VegasNation.com and by downloading the Vegas Nation app. And follow me on Twitter at Heidi Fang. That'll do it for this show this week. Thanks so much for listening.
Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.